Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online too at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Well, the name of this program is Live by Every Word, and of course, we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the Bible. Why should you study God's Word? Why should people look into it? It's a question worth asking and worth answering. We see a lot of things happening in the news, global upheaval, and all sorts of ideas being thrown about, but you don't hear much about the Bible, not really. Some people want to assemble for church services and things like that, but what about solutions to the world's problems founded upon the Word of God? We need to study God's Word. Why study God's Word? Well, because when we study God's Word and we live by it, it makes us free. We become free. There's a lot of slavery in this world to many things, but studying God's Word and applying it makes us free. Notice this in John 8. We'll have a few passages today. So if you have a Bible handy, you might want to get it out and take a look at this. John 8 and verse 32, it says, and this is Christ talking, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will make you free. Well, free from what? Free from sin and the penalties of sin. That's true freedom, to not be enslaved to sin and the penalties of sin. Now, many in the world are gripped by fear, anxiety, disease, job loss, all sorts of concerns and worries. They very much are enslaving people. Man's system, this global system, which is not built on God's Word, it's collapsing in on itself. More and more, man's ways are failing, and they try to solve a problem, and then two more problems pop up in its place. What about the religions of the world? You know, people in times of trial really do, if they are religious, a lot of times they talk about praying or they talk about getting close to God. Well, what about the religious of the world? Are they free? Is there freedom there? Well, notice this from Trumpet Editor-in-Chief, Mr. Gerald Fleury. He writes this in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, and that course is free at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for it if you don't have it. He says, many religious people like to talk about freedom, but are they getting their definition of freedom from the Bible? If they have a different idea of freedom, they are enslaved. They are not following true Christianity, and that is true of many who consider themselves very religious. Now, being religious, truly Christian, means, of course, living by the Word of God. And to be a true Christian, a person needs God's Holy Spirit flowing in their lives. They need to be baptized and have God's Spirit opening their minds up to His truth, to His Word. And then they need to be using the power of God's Spirit to do what the Word of God says. That's the key. True freedom comes from living according to the Bible. Of course, people like to talk about freedom. It's a popular thing to talk about, and everybody wants to be free. But what does it mean? And how do you obtain it? Well, true freedom, as we've been talking about, true freedom means freedom from sin and the penalties of sin. How do you obtain that? Well, again, true freedom comes from living according to the Bible. We read there in John 8, Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I mean, we can understand that, I think, even looking at a physical example. If a person is, say, eating something that's making them feel sick, and they learn that if they stop eating that, they'll feel better, and they do it, they go ahead and follow the advice, well, they're free, right? They're free from the illness because they've made the change they need to make. It's true physically. It's true spiritually. When we follow the word of God, then we're free from sin and the penalty of it. Notice this passage in Mark 7. Let's see another passage here. Christ was dealing with people in his day and age that were religious and that were working to have their religion, their ideas. But Christ had an answer for them in Mark 7, verses 6 through 7. He addressed their religion, their way of doing things, their freedom as they would view it. It says, he answered, Christ answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so Christ was getting right to the point here. Yes, people like to come and they like to honor Christ and talk about him, but their heart was far from the word of God. They weren't doing the word of God. They were teaching their own commandments, their own ideas. In Matthew 24, Christ warned, of course, that people would talk about Christ. They would mention him. They would talk about him a lot, but they wouldn't do what he said. And so even the religious of the world are enslaved simply because they do not do what Christ instructed. It's pretty simple. They did not do what Christ instructed, and they don't do it. They don't keep the days Christ kept. They don't keep the law that Christ kept and taught. And so they're enslaved. Mr. Fleury writes that many people talk about God and Jesus Christ. They act religious, but in truth, their hearts are far from God. They are actually enslaved to false religion and think they are obeying God. We must be free from that kind of false Christianity. Did you ever think about being free of religion? Well, if it's false religion, you need to be free of it, or else you'll be enslaved to it. And many people in the world are enslaved to it. They're enslaved to false religious concepts, and it blocks them from ever really getting to know the true God and the way of God. And so they go in the wrong direction. Now, of course, we want to be free. We really do. Notice how we have to live if we are to obtain that freedom. This is in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 23. Some very basic points and principles here, but so rarely done. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. We should live as Christ lived. Christ perfectly followed the law of God. Christ kept the Sabbath day. Christ kept the holy days. He kept the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. He didn't keep Easter. He didn't keep Christmas. He didn't do any of those things. And we're told here in 1 Peter that we should follow his steps. Verse 22 says, who did no sin. So again, now it's one thing to maybe stop there in verse 21 and say, well, we should follow in his steps. And if people aren't thinking too much about what that means, they could say, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll be a good person. I'll be nice and so forth. But verses 22 and 23 get a little more specific. What does it mean to follow his steps? What did Christ do? Well, verse 22 says, who did no sin. He did not do any sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Well, that's hard to do. You know, he was reviled. People said things about him, and he didn't say anything back. I mean, he did correct at times to make some very important points that we can learn from today, but he didn't get into arguments with people. He didn't shoot back at them. He didn't sin. He suffered unjustly, and he didn't threaten. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. I mean, really think about what that means and how he just put his life into God's hands all the way up to death. And then he was resurrected. He put everything in the hands of his Father. Can we do that? But that's what it's talking about here in 1 Peter 2 and verses 21 through 23. Now that's freedom. That's true Christianity. What an example Christ set, a perfect example for us. And of course, his life, when we look at it, what a challenge it is for us to follow that example. Can we live that way? If we have the power of God's Spirit in our lives empowering us, then yes, we can. Doesn't mean that it's easy, and we have to do our part. We have to cooperate with God and put our effort into obeying him, but we have the ability to obey God if we are using the power of God's Spirit. That's where the power comes from, to understand God's word and then to apply it. Now, Christ, you know, talked about how difficult it would be to be saved. And in Mark 10, Christ was asked, how could any actually be saved? It's too hard. It's just too hard, people thought. And Christ answered, and he said that with men it is impossible. We can't do it by ourselves. But with God, all things, including salvation, are possible. So we can't do it of our own. It takes the power of God. And then we could ask the question, okay, so how can men be free? Same answer, right? With men, it's not possible. But with the power of God, it is possible. Men can't be free of sin on their own because we have to have the mind of Christ in us to be thinking and acting like God does. There's not anything good in man. Christ knew that too. He said that as well. Jeremiah 17:9 talks about that wicked and deceitful heart that people have. Yeah, it tries to be good. It tries to look good, but it's wicked. That's the reality of man. And of course, especially when things get maybe more intense in somebody's life or the pressure gets turned up, then sometimes things come out of a human that, you know, they themselves wouldn't expect. So we need to have God's Spirit because that's the only place where righteousness comes from. It comes from God. Freedom comes from God and living by his word. The Correspondence Course says that Christ lived his life in perfect subjection to the law of God. So again, when we think about 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, that we should follow his steps, that's what Christ did. Those are his steps. He lived his life in perfect subjection to the law of God. It says he resisted the pulls of his flesh. And again, remember, he was tempted in every point. He knows the pulls of the flesh, but he resisted those. It says he resisted the pulls of his flesh rather than being overcome by them. Far too often humanly, we are overcome by the pulls of the flesh, but Christ resisted those and he overcame those. He overcame those pulls. It says we need to be like Christ, free of human nature. Most people don't even know what human nature is. What is human nature? Well, we talked about it a little bit. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. It shows that the heart in every human is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And as much as we don't like to think about it, that means everybody. That means me. That means you. That's the human heart. That's the condition of the human heart, apart from God's Spirit. To really be free, we have to be free of human nature. And of course, that means having God's Spirit guide and direct us. Mr. Fleury continues and says, if you let a desperately wicked heart run free, it will do great damage. What a statement. If you let a desperately wicked heart run free, it will do great damage. We've seen a lot of damage over the years in individual lives, certainly. Just looking at, say, the statistics of things, or maybe people you've encountered, you probably have noticed some damage being done. You know, what is the rate of divorce in this country, America, and in the Western nations? What is the family situations? What are the financial situations? What are the crime rates? What's the rate of usage of drugs? And on it goes. Where does that come from? Why those problems? Well, it's wicked hearts, Jeremiah 17:9. That's human nature. And anyone caught up in those types of sins or any sin, there's no freedom there. It's slavery. It's absolute slavery. The point is made all throughout the Bible that the problem isn't with God's law. That's not the problem. The problem is with mankind. Mankind doesn't want to keep God's law. That's the problem. And doesn't have a heart to obey him. Not yet, anyway. No one wants the slavery that comes from breaking the law. That's the difficulty in this world. People don't want to keep God's law, but they don't want the penalty that comes from breaking the law. But the penalty comes. The penalty comes, and then man tries to fix the penalty in some fashion, and usually, again, one problem turns into two problems. Two problems turns into four problems, and they just multiply. Notice this in Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 10. There has to be a change in the hearts of mankind to really be free. It says, "For finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.'" You know, ancient Israel, the tribes of ancient Israel, including Judah there, they broke God's law. They broke his Sabbath. They got into idolatry. They went into slavery. They had fault. They didn't keep the law. So God says, well, the time's coming where I'm going to make a new covenant. Verse 9, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord." They broke God's covenant. They said they'd obey him, but then they didn't. Verse 10, "For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." So here's what's going to happen after Christ returns. Here's what's going to happen to the nations of Israel and Judah, and ultimately the whole world. He says, "I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So there's a change that is coming. The law of God won't change. God the Father and Jesus Christ won't change. Christ says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what has to change for there to be true freedom? Well, the hearts, the attitudes of humans, that's what has to change. The attitude of mankind, that's what has to change. And so in this life, of course, sometimes you might find certain problems. We all have some that creep up at times, and we have to deal with them. And most people, if they're honest with themselves, they sort of look around at other people to blame. Well, it's your fault, or it's because of this circumstance, or it's that circumstance, and don't want to accept the blame for the problems. But in most cases, and again, we're speaking in generalities, but in most cases, the problems in our lives are just a result of our sins. Now, there are examples, obviously, where somebody would suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, which is noble and praiseworthy. But in many cases, problems come because of sin. And so, now, on one hand, I suppose it could be a discouraging thought, but there's a real excitement to that understanding as well. And the excitement is that if the problems are a result of a person's sin, then a person's repentance can solve those problems. That's the other side of the coin. Now, if the problems that a person faced in life were just the fault of everyone else, well, that would be really hard to solve, because how are they going to go around and make everybody else change their behavior? It's not going to happen. But in most cases, problems in a person's life are a result of the sin that they've committed. But they can change. We can all change. And we all do need to. We can change, and that's the excitement about it. Repentance. there's great excitement in that. You know, we, in a way, if you think about it, if you think about being enslaved, say, behind some bars, well, we have the keys right in our own hands. If we want to get out of the slavery, if we want to get out of the jail cell or the dungeon, we just have to repent and follow God's word. We have the keys to get out of there in our own hands. So the power of decision there is with us. Of course, we need God's power to change and to grow, but still, we have to make a choice on which direction we'll go. That's the exciting thing, is that we can repent, we can change. Mr. Fleury notes this in the correspondence course. He says, we need to write God's law on our hearts indelibly, to etch it on our hearts and minds so it will never go away. That will bring true freedom into our lives. And you get the picture there, right? If you etch something, it's probably going to stay. You know, it's, you've really put a mark. Well, if we etch God's law into our hearts and minds, you know, we're going to have that real freedom in our lives. And that means we live by it. We live by God's word. And so we should have joyful freedom. We should be traveling in a path where more and more we're having joy and we're having freedom. 1 Peter 2 and verse 16, the Revised Standard Version, gives us this admonition. It says, live as free men, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God. So we don't, the fact that we can repent is a wonderful truth and is possible because of Christ's sacrifice and God's, the Father's sacrifice for us. But we don't want to, you know, be casual about sin and say, well, I can repent of it, you know, and so I won't take it seriously. No, we want to take it seriously and live as free men, live as servants of God. Remember, we talked about that earlier, that we're supposed to live as Christ lived, to follow his steps. That's the admonition that's given to us in 1 Peter 2:21. Live as Christ lived. Christ was free. He was free of sin. Now, he did suffer the penalties of sin for you and me. He took that on himself. But he didn't sin once. He was perfect. He lived as a servant of God. He committed himself to God perfectly. And that's the example that we need to follow. So we must study God's word and then act on what we learn. That's why we study the Bible. That's why the Bible is valuable. That's when it becomes valuable. That's where it goes from just being a large book on the shelf to being a roadmap for freedom and a roadmap for life. Study God's word, act on what we learn, follow Christ's example, and we will have more and more wonderful freedom, freedom from sin and the penalties of sin. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.